Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Now for something a little bit special. Ryan Hutchings joined Clive Shirley and his Fungi Photography Group for a secret foray in the Waitakere's. We join him now following Clive through the bush.
Clive, what should I be looking out for here?
For fungi, yeah, usually you just look for the colour. There's some yellow canthralis. So the colour or the shape is what I'm really looking for. But it's quite dark. And being that it's raining and I've got water on my glasses, I'm not seeing much at the moment.
And for you, is there anything that you're particularly looking for today?
As a photographer, it's anything that's pretty. Yeah. And bright colours in particular.
Have you got a list of species that you're sort of ticking off as you're photographing them?
No, not really. There's ones I'm always looking out for, but haven't ever found.
The elusive fungi.
Yeah.
Well, we might find one of those today.
It didn't take long for us to stumble across our first patch of fungi.
What have we got here?
I've got two different species here, both waxgills. One, the orange one here, is Camprophallus, and some got a big name on it that I can't pronounce, identified by its colour, orange colour, and the decurrent gills. And another wax gill with its brown cap, and it's, although you can't probably see in this light, it's got lovely lilac gills. So it's quite a small one. It's interesting that just in the past week these have all come out. So the spell of cold weather we've had is I can't see much through my glasses.
Are they poisonous to eat?
No, very few of the fungi are poisonous, so it doesn't matter if you touch them. Just wash your hands before you eat, really. There are exceptions to the rule, of course.
Now, when you guys go out and do these missions out into the bush, how many of you normally go together at a time? Is it a group thing or more?
I go a lot myself on my own. I seem to take my better photos on my own. But usually on our forays, there might be about the maximum of about 10. Any bigger, and the groups get unwieldy, and you're waiting to take a photo.
And is it a sort of is there a little bit of competition to try and spot the fungi in the group situation?
Oh yeah, and get the best photo.
So what interests you most? Are you more interested in finding the fungi or photographing them?
Mixture of both these days. Originally, the photography was what got me interested. But as time went by, I found if I wanted names for them, I had to become a mycologist as well. Now it's just a mixture of both.
And what is there sort of always that thought that maybe you might discover a new fungi?
Oh, yeah, and it is quite easy. There's a lot of New Zealand fungi aren't named, so finding undescribed species is not uncommon.
Our new discovery wasn't a new species, but it was still very exciting.
Right, here we go. Here's the green one. It's always quite a treasure to find. Green is quite an uncommon colour for fungi. There's only about two or three species of green fungi about.
Sorry, what was that one called again?
Glophorus Gyophorus Viridis. I think that's the name, how you pronounce it.
Okay, now we've found the fungi, now we're looking at it as a potential photography subject. We want to look for groups of three. Oh, here we go. That's got to be fungi photography gold.
Yeah, being that in photography circles, one or odd numbers are more preferred than even numbers. Something to do with drawing your eye, if there's only two from one to the other. But when you get them in threes, then you perceive them as a group.
And what about, maybe a bit weird, but you know, you've got a sort of a frame you're going to photograph. Is it considered bad form to dress that frame a little bit?
In some circles, maybe, but I consider it all just fair game. You've got to clean some of the leaf litter out of the way, particularly in front of the camera. You don't want a stick sticking up. You don't want vertical or horizontal lines, so there's twigs and that cause problems. Sometimes you might get a bright white leaf behind you that you don't really want. Yeah. So it's fair game to remove it or cover it with another one.
So this one's worthy of a photograph, Clive?
Yeah, I thought I'd try. Sometimes it's quite surprising what the results are like afterwards once you get them home and send them on the computer. Something that can look quite mundane out in the field can sometimes make a spectacular photo.
All right. So we've got the little tripod set up there.
Yep. Somebody's got their other tripod and leg in the way, but yeah. Just missing the fungi.
Is this a common thing when there's a big group of you and you've got to find like this, it's all on?
Yeah. Usually the person that finds it has first chance, because sometimes you actually damage them while you're trying to clear leaf litter away. So it's, sometimes you lose them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of photography with mushrooms. It's quite dark here and it's having trouble focusing. It's definitely very dark. It's a 30-second exposure.
What about people retouching their fungi photographs in Photoshop?
Natural history people say no, but if I bet you if they had a dark room, they would have been doing dodging and burning anyway. So I think it's just different medium, different way of approaching getting your pretty photo.
What about retouching colour of the fungi? Is that, would that be a no-no?
Oh, you might adjust the overall colour balance, but generally you're removing dirt off it, dirt and bits of mess. Sometimes you might actually remove a whole fungi if it's damaged, if it's a bit rotten.
Or to get that magic number, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I'm not that fussed about the magic number. Because I don't do any competition work, so... mine are only for my website, so it's only more reference shots than pretty photos, but we all like our pretty photos.
Is there a do they have fungi competitions?
Not really. The small group I run sometimes hold one. We haven't this season, but most of the clubs and bigger organisations have natural history competitions, so the fungi are quite acceptable then.
After a few more photos, we made our way back out of the bush, and I got to bore and at times offend Clive with all of my burning fungi questions.
What is the difference between a toadstool and a mushroom?
Nothing really. Generally people feel that a toadstool is poisonous and a mushroom isn't. But that's really a horrible term, a poor term to use.
Are all fungi mushrooms?
Yeah. And as I said, if some of the fungi you can actually eat don't look like mushrooms at all. So it can be quite confusing.
Have you tried eating a few different ones?
Yeah, a few of the ones that are known to be quite eatable.
Yeah. Do you have a preference?
No, not really. Field mushrooms, really. Or the horse mushrooms.
Pretty good, aren't they?
Yeah, you can't get wrong with them. You don't get poisoned.
Do you find fungi in dead trees?
Oh, yes. So I'll just check out dead wood. It's really fungi that are doing all the rotting, so every once in a while you'll get fruiting bodies appearing.
You ever tried growing your own fungi?
Only some commercial ones, like normal domestic mushrooms.
Yeah, I had a look at those, and they you get some sort of a log and some spores.
Yeah, different depending on the species you're wanting to grow. The traditional meadow mushrooms that you buy in the shops are done in straw and horse manure.
Yeah.
It's been fermented first. oyster mushrooms are grown in wood chip normally, in a plastic bag. Shiitakes are on oak log or poplar log.
How'd the ones go that you tried growing?
Oh, good. They tasted a bit like chicken.
Ryan Hutchings with Clive Shirley there. If you're interested in learning more about photographing fungi, you can get a hold of Clive via his website, hiddenforest.co.nz. After the break, Shane Carter from Dimmer.